So listen to this. It might take you twice to get it. But listen to this little saying. If you don't know where you're going, that's where you'll go, nowhere. If you don't know where you're going, that's probably where you'll go, nowhere. On the other hand, if you have a destination in mind, if you know where you're going, at least you're going to face in that direction. At least you're going to take a couple of steps in that direction. And you know, it's just like when you go on a trip. If you know the destination that you want to get to, you can get there all kinds of different ways. You can go on the country roads. You can go on the interstate. You can go on a plane or a train or a boat. But you're more likely to get somewhere and somewhere you want to go if you have a destination in mind and you're moving toward it. At Salem, we've been seeking God's vision for our church, God's next faithful step. God, where do you want us to go next? Because there's a whole world of places that we could go and things that we could do as a church. So God, where do you want us to concentrate? Where will we have the most impact for your kingdom? We've been praying about this and discussing, and I believe we have heard God's voice together. In Jesus' last words, before he was taken up into heaven, so you know that these are really important ones, he said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always." Here at Salem, we say it this way, and I bet this has become invisible to those of you who are here every week. But right over the back door is our mission statement on that blue banner. And it says that our mission is to make disciples who make disciples who change the world. And part of the vision that God has raised up is to reaffirm that that's who we are and that's what we're about, making disciples, getting better and better at making disciples for Jesus Christ. Now, that's all very well, but what in the world is a disciple? I mean, we don't use that word every day. In Jesus' time, they did, but we don't use it. Well, simply put, in short, a disciple is a follower of Jesus. And a disciple of Jesus is not a casual, just trail along behind and get off the track sometimes and watch what they're doing, watch what the person you're following is doing. But this definition of disciple is one who learns the Jesus way of life, one who learns to love what Jesus loves and to serve who Jesus serves, until he lives in you and through you, and you live always in him. And Jesus summed up what that would look like to people on the outside in John chapter 13. And again, these were some of his last words before his crucifixion. And he said to his disciples, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you also should love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I think that making disciples and being a disciple and becoming a disciple begins with one little phrase in that verse, and that is, "just as I have loved you." Being a disciple begins with discovering that you are loved. You are loved just the way you are sitting here on this Sunday morning. You are loved for just who you are, with your talents, with your abilities, with your past. You are loved. You don't have to do anything. That love is unconditional. And Jesus said in the other scripture verse that I read, "And remember, I am with you always." And he's with you, whether or not you claim his presence, whether you see him, whether you turn away from him. Jesus promises to be with you, and discipleship begins by understanding, believing, and claiming that unconditional love. And Jesus is with you in love. And when you become a disciple, when you grow as a disciple of Jesus, he's going to be with you. And when you become a disciple, the end of your story, just like the end of his story, is always, always going to be life. It's going to be life now, life that is better now. It's going to be life that leads through death to eternal life. The end of the Jesus story. The end of the story for every Jesus follower is life. And by following Jesus and learning to live the Jesus way and walk the Jesus walk and love what he loves and serve what he serves, you begin to make him real in this world. You begin to let that love overflow out into the world, and that's how we change the world. Disciples who follow Jesus just naturally change the world, and we are all a part of that story. So our sermon series for the next 3 weeks is the what, the why, and the how of the vision. So that's the what: making disciples who make disciples who change the world. And the why is because Jesus told us to. And when we do, we begin to be a part of that life, 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 the end of the story, always life. And our vision is to make more and more disciples who grow closer and closer and deeper in love and in living out that love. Well, the question then we get to the how. How do we do this? How do we do it as individuals? How do we grow? And how do we help others to grow? Well, we have some practices as a church that are part of our covenant and part of who we are. Our church council is in this covenant together. As a part of every one of our staff positions, this is a part of what they promise to. This is what we teach at every new member class. These basic practices that over the centuries have opened up people's lives and helped them to grow closer to Jesus. So, the next slide lists those promises. We learn to come to God daily in prayer and scripture reading, the practice of weekly worship, the practice of participating in hands-on mission, not just giving money, but being there for somebody, being in mission. Giving 10% of what you earn to God's work or moving toward that goal, that makes us generous people. And then let's read this last one together. And being a part of a small group for growth and service. And this is the one part of that covenant that we feel called to really lift up. This is part of our destination and our vision. Because in a small group, we learn scripture together. And we not only study the Bible and we study other things that help us to live the good Jesus life, but we help each other. You might say to yourself, I don't know what this scripture means for me. And somebody else in the group might say, well, it looks like this for me. And somebody else might say, well, it looks like this for me. And together we figure it out in a small group, something that we cannot do in the large group at worship. In small group, we encourage each other in these practices and we can keep each other accountable. I've mentioned before that for a number of years, I played the violin. It was a sorry sound. And I just kept trying, dumb, because it wasn't my talent. But I took violin lessons in college, and I had this really strict teacher. And I knew that at my lesson, if he didn't like what I was doing, he would say, "You didn't practice this week." And so I always practiced so I could at least say, "I did practice, but I didn't get it. I didn't understand what it was." These are practices. And if you know somebody's going to ask you about it in your small group, you'll stick with it. And you'll use these practices to go deeper and stronger in Jesus. Also, in small groups, we can practice telling each other what God is doing in our lives. We can practice catching sight of opportunities that God gives us. And then we can tell someone else so that when someone outside asks us, "What is it that gives you that peace? How can you go through this thing in your life without breaking down? What do you have? Whatever you have, I want it." And if we've practiced it, we have what we call an elevator speech, because that's all the time you might get, just the time that you're in an elevator. And so then you've practiced it, and you can say, "Well, it's God's presence and God's love in my life." Or, "I go to this great church, and they surrounded me, and they brought me meals when I was sick, and they prayed for me, and they sent me cards, and that's it. That's how I do it." And if we've practiced that, then we're ready when God presents us with the opportunities that God is always going to present to us if we're ready and open and watching. So small groups are going to be such an important part of this church's ministry of making disciples. In your worship folder this morning, there's a white sheet, and it has all the current small groups that we have. And it has contacts that you can be in touch with who would tell you about those. But you might not see a place on here where you would fit in. You might think, none of those. And so maybe you want to talk to Susan Ryder, our director of small groups, or to me, or to Pastor Jenny, and maybe you want to start one that you would fit in. Because our goal as a church is to increase the number of small groups that we have, so that we have them everywhere from people who are just kind of wondering if there really is a God, to those who are lifelong, mature disciples of Jesus just trying to grow deeper. So if there's not what you're looking for on there, talk to us. And our goal is also then to increase the number of people from both inside and outside the church who participate in these small groups. Because we have a lot of little churches around here, and they're not able to offer the kind of menu of ministries that we can offer. So we don't want to take their members away from them, but maybe they might want to come and join us for one of our small groups. Maybe there's somebody in your neighborhood who's had a really bad experience with church, because there are those. And maybe they would never set foot inside this church, but they might come to a Bible study at your house. There might be somebody you know at work who is maybe even too far away from here to come to a small group, but you might feel called to start one over the lunchtime. There's all kinds of opportunities. So being a part of a small group for growth and service is a place that we want to raise up as a really fertile ground for growing disciples. Now, there are two other components of our vision, and that's why this is a three-week series. Next week, Pastor Jenny is going to be talking about the practice of hospitality, so that no matter what we are doing as a church, people will feel welcome. People will feel like they can find a place, whether we're doing it in this church building, whether there are other groups using our church building. What if we had greeters on the night that the scouts are here? I mean, we have all kinds of opportunities because people are using this building. But we want that same hospitality to flow out as we help with National Night Out, as we do work groups in our community, as we go out and help people do house repairs in our community. So it's this raising up small groups, increasing our hospitality, and focusing on our community. Changing this community by serving and sharing Jesus. You've heard me say this, those of you who have been here week by week, that our demographics tell us that we have 8,000 people within just a few miles of this church who have no connection to any Christian community. 8,000 people. And many of those people don't know that they're loved. They're searching. They're searching for love. Many of them are thirsting for community, for a place where they can be themselves and belong and feel like it's okay. Many people are longing for a place where they can make friends or where they can join together with some other people to make a difference in the world. And there are people out there that are looking for their purpose in life. You know, why am I here? Why do I need to stay here? Why am I here? And we've got it. We've got love to share. We've got hope to share. We have blessings to share. We have service opportunities that people can hook into. We have hospitality. And we can also learn from those people as we are in connection with them. Because, you know, Jesus is already out there. Jesus is already everywhere out there, and he's already working in people's lives, even if they haven't named it. And we can help them name what Jesus is already doing, and we can listen to their stories, and we can hear what God has already been doing in their lives and how God has been nudging them to find a place where they can belong and serve and be loved. This is the vision. This is our vision. This is what God has given us. And each of you sitting here today have a part in this vision or carrying out that vision in another place. Because every one of us can grow in our discipleship. Every one of us can learn to share of ourselves in any number of ways. And people are waiting. People are waiting for someone to tell them that they are loved, someone to invite them. Think about, will you be that someone? Think about that as you watch this video.
I was hurting and someone showed me Jesus' love.
My life felt hopeless until someone shared hope.
Someone who was a good friend and helped me follow Jesus.
Someone who gave up their life to help me.
Someone at school.
Someone in my neighborhood.
Someone who I fish with.
Someone I have coffee with.
Someone that I can have a good conversation with.
Someone I met at my daughter's volleyball practice.
Someone at my home.
Someone who likes me. For me.
Someone who doesn't judge.
Someone who loves unconditionally.
Someone who will teach me to know God.
Someone who believes in me.
Someone who will show us how to live.
Someone who will guide me.
Someone who will help me follow Jesus.
For me, that someone was my friend Lily, who helped me follow Jesus more closely.
That someone, my friend who discipled me, was Kendon.
For me, that someone was my friend Chuck.
For me, that someone was Antonio.
That someone was Bruce.
That someone was Lucas.
That someone was Amy.
That someone was Henry.
That someone was Demetrius.
That someone was my grandparents.
That someone was Terry.
That someone was my Sunday school teacher.
That someone was my friend Liz.
That someone was Bill.
That someone was Matt.
That someone was Darla.
That someone is my dad.
Will you help me follow Jesus?
Will you help me follow Jesus?
Will you help me follow Jesus more closely?
Will you?
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 Will you be that someone?